I have a core conviction for a long time now that America is only as strong as its states. Her states are only as strong as her cities, and their cities are only as strong as the churches in those cities. And the churches are only as strong as the families that dwell within them and the health of them. And that if there's a marriage in that home, that between that husband and wife, that there's a call to health there, and that that's all built on the men who are called to lead, love, and serve their wife and families. And so there's something embedded in that thought flow. There's several things. The one that I really want you to hear this morning is church, the word church. Church matters. Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against it. It's his bride. He's the head of it. And the only hope for America and this world is Christ. And the church, as the body of Christ, has this message embedded in it called the gospel, right? This good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that through faith in him, we can be forgiven and reconciled to him. That we have hope, hope for now and hope for an eternity with him. The church really matters, and the church is a part of the big story. We often get sucked into the lesser stories of life, whatever is the lesser moment in culture, but there is a great story that we live within and under all the time. And the gospel is a sending story. We've often said that, could it be that 10 churches in one metro area could have more kingdom impact than one church of 5,000? Same amount of people, but 10 spots versus one. And so we decided a long time ago that this room is plenty big, and that we're not going to build a massive sanctuary, but we're going to rather choose to be a sending church because we're a sending people. God's a sending God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. What does that mean? It means that God the Father sent his son. And so in light of that, when you hear Jesus spoken of 44 times in the New Testament as sent, and then he in turn said to us, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. So we worship a sending God and we're a sending people. So to follow Jesus is to be sent. We hear that in the text, this classic text, we call it the Great Commission, right? Jesus says that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Look at what's embedded in the text there. Whether you're at home in your den with your Bible open or in your car or right here, look at what the text says. The one verb in the text, in the imperative mood, which is the command, is to make disciples. That's why our mission statement has been articulated through the years now as we're committed to making disciples of those nearest, our neighbors, and the nations, but making disciples. Those three orange words are participles that support the one command. They undergird it, you know, as you're going, as you're baptizing, as you're teaching, make disciples. What does that imply? What does that speak of? It speaks of a church. It speaks of something ordered. It speaks of something structured. It's not just this out of the gate in the first century to now. God's plan was never to just, y'all figure it out and just kind of get together whenever you please. There's a thing called the church. And we've seen in the New Testament, it is the primary strategy for building the kingdom, for expanding the kingdom and making his name known in the earth. Tim Keller points it out this way, and I love how he says, to teach them all things and to baptize them is to say that baptism is implying incorporation into, as he says, a covenant community or a church. To baptize someone is to bring them into a local assembly, a local body of believers. And so Paul says it in a little different way to Titus in Titus 1:5. He says, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town. What is that saying? It's saying that they were building and birthing churches right out of the gate that were structured. They had elders and pastors and deacons and a body that had function and form. And the head of that would be Christ in every situation and every setting. And so, do we really need more churches? I mean, we're the city of churches. I often hear that when they're like, when they hear, you know, if you're a guest today, one of our decade goals along the nearest neighbors and nations, uniquely for today, we're talking about multiplication goal and neighbors, is that we want to plant and or replant 25 churches in this decade. And people say, really? Do we really need more churches in Charlotte? We've got, there are over 900 of them. There are a bunch of them. And the answer is a resounding yes. And this is why. There's a clear answer to this. Is more than, there's the theological reason, but there's also just the practical of it. So in the 2010 U.S. Census, the ratio of churches to people was 1 to 1,000. So for every 1,000 people in the United States, there was a church. And it's estimated by 2050 that the U.S. population will be at 390 million people. And so as a model to keep up with growth in America, we need 76,000 churches planted by 2050. In other words, we need a net gain of 2,000 churches per year to keep up with the population growth. Not to like advance the kingdom, don't miss this, not like to like blow it out, like have this major advance, just to keep even, because our country's growing. Just makes sense. That's why McDonald's and Starbucks and Exxon keep putting stores out, because the country's growing. The demand is there. The need is there, right? More banks, more this, more that. Well, the Church of Jesus Christ is just a tad bit more important than any of those, because it is the place where the gospel is proclaimed every week. So here's where we stood in 2019. In 2019, for Protestant churches, this is from Lifeway Research, there were 4,500 closures. There were 3,000 openings. So it's a net loss of 1,500. But we need a net gain of 2,000. And just to let you feel the urgency of this, I just want you to see how fast this has progressed just from 2014. In 5 years, we went from a net gain of 300 churches to a net loss of 2,000 or 1,500 churches. This is urgent. This isn't like, hey, church, if you think this is a good idea, let's do something about it. If you're feeling like doing it. Those days are over. I'm getting on a plane at 6:20 today to go to Liverpool to see some precious peoples. And every time I go, as much fun as that is, I'll see churches that are bars. I'll see churches that are apartment complexes. And I think about our own country. I think about our own land and how that's happening here now. Churches are closing in massive rates. And we're blessed in the sense that churches that are actually growing are in the single digits in the percentage. And so we're accountable. We're accountable to do what God's called us to do for the sake of the kingdom, not to grow this church bigger, but to grow the kingdom bigger by the planting of churches. Because when you simply grow one church to get bigger by the 10s and the 20s and the 30s, you're dealing with addition. But when you plant churches, you start to move from addition to multiplication. And I'd much rather play that math than this math. Because at the end of the day, more folks are in the kingdom than they would have been here. And so I just want you to let this encourage you in that this is a part of our history. This is our history of church planting. In 1972, it was the first. We were started in 1965. And then down through the years, that's what's happened. But I want you to be encouraged by the momentum that the Holy Spirit has given us. Because in the last... in the box here, which is in the last 8 years, we've seen this happen. So let me just put it this way. It took 44 years for 6 churches to start out of Carmel. It's taken 8 years for 12 to start. With, I'll add, four more strong possibilities of church starts that are most likely to make it. They've begun the application process with our elder sub-team that's working with them and to see that happen. There's a lot of amazing, amazing things that are happening in our city, and we get to play. We get to be a part of it. And one of the game changers for me personally was when the strategy shifted gears from simply being the top of those three. Historically, and the only thing I'd ever known in Texas and here was the parent model where we send people and resource, where we send a pastor or two and a bunch of money, and we say, go get them. What we've added to that strategy is the partner model where we send people and resources with another church. And then thirdly, where it's a patron, where we simply invest resources. For example, I text with a lot of these guys every Sunday morning, and I texted several of them this morning and just simply said, preach the word and love your sheep well today. And the last one on the screen there is Plaza Baptist. That's in Plaza Midwood. Brian Davis, great young pastor. They're doing so well. That actually was a partnership. Hickory Grove actually sent them into that church as a replant. And our missions teams later found out about each other. And so we're now investing there. And so it's a partnership. The same is true for the Summit Church. The Summit Church was a partnership. Mercy Church that you see is a partnership with Summit out of Raleigh. Oakhurst is a partnership that we have with Capitol Hill Baptist and Mark Dever in Washington, D.C. So there are lots of those opportunities that are in front of us that are bigger and broader and, frankly, just really exciting, because it's not just wait until we build up enough and then send out with people and resource, but it's do that along with, well, who could we partner with? Or who could we just invest into financially to see something really, really exciting happen? And so one of the best things that we've seen happen last year was the creation of what we call the City Residency Project. It was launched last year, which is but under a year, just in October, I believe. And I want to introduce you to a friend of mine now who's going to speak for a moment. Chad Farrell is the pastor of King's Church here in Charlotte. He's a Durham boy, hardcore Duke fan, and he's my brother. But he was planted out of Cross Point Church in Clemson. Two of the premier church planting churches in the United States are actually in the Carolinas. Summit Church in Raleigh, or Triangle, and Cross Point Church in Clemson. They're both amazing church planting churches, and that's where he came from. And so in addition to planting King's Church 2 years ago, We've hired him as the director shepherd of the City Residency Project, which has been a game changer. And I'm going to let him explain the rest of that to you and how they're equipping and training and really being a blessing for a lot of young pastors. So, Chad, welcome. We're glad you're here. Let's welcome him, guys.
Oh, what a joy it is to be here with y'all this morning. And just the last year of getting to know some of your staff, getting to know Pastor Alex, has just been awesome. It's been a great journey for me, our family, and our church. I want to share a little bit of my story on how we got to Charlotte. And then I also want to share with you big picture vision of the City Residency Project. As we think about our city's growing. Our city is close to 1 million people within the 485 loop. And so I think it's appropriate for us to begin with a verse from Luke 10. What was true for Jesus and his disciples is true for us here in Charlotte. You see, Luke 10, 2, as Jesus is with his disciples, he looks at them, he's looking out, and he says this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And then he tells us what to do. He tells us what to do. He doesn't say, hey, go. He doesn't say, build this incredible strategy. What he tells us to do is He says, therefore, pray earnestly. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest for him to send out laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. He knows it. We've already sang about this morning. He's sovereign. He's in control. He knows his people. He sees this harvest. He sees the harvest here in Charlotte. Close to 1 million people within the 485 loop. Greater Charlotte has well over 2 million people. Hundreds of nations are represented in our neighborhoods, in our communities, where we work, where we play. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need to be a people who pray earnestly. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. In August of 2019, my family, with another family and several recent grads from Clemson University, we moved to Charlotte to plant churches. We moved here to see laborers raised up. We see that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few, therefore we pray. And we moved here to plant churches. Our first target location was near the university, UNCC. 32,000 plus students, 100 plus nations, a diverse community, people from all different backgrounds. So the Lord, in his kindness, in his providence, he allowed us to plant King's Church in the fall of 2020. It's a great strategy to plant a church in the midst of COVID, just so y'all know. Again, in God's kindness, he joined us with an older congregation. And in the summer of 2021, we actually both voted and both came together because we saw us actually better together than two separate churches. We're about a mile and a half from UNCC's campus with, yes, we want to be a community church, but we also want to be a church that's reaching college students and internationals that are there. So as we move to Charlotte, God has been very kind, but one of the things that we realized early on is that we were not well connected in our community with other churches. Yes, we were connected through our church planting network, which has some churches around Charlotte. We were connected with the local Baptist Association, which allowed us to build some good relationships. But we didn't have those partners, those patrons, that parent in the city. Yes, we were connected with Crosspoint and Clemson, and praise God for them. They were amazing. And we still talk. We still are connected. They send teams up twice or three times a year to help us. But what we saw, and one of my biggest regrets over that first year of planting was the lack of partnership, linking arms together to plant churches in our city. Over a year ago, through some connections in our city, I was connected with Pastor Alex and Rob Kelly, and through this vision of wanting to see 25 churches planted or replanted in our city, we started thinking, okay, so how do we do that? How does this happen? How do we raise up enough pastors, church planters, leaders to see these churches planted? Well, the City Residency birthed from that, the City Residency Project. And as you see on the screen, the City Residency Project really, it has three components. We want to equip, we want to connect, and we want to mobilize leaders for faithful ministry. That's our hope. That's what we want to see. As of right now, we have around 30 residents that have signed up since October in this program. It's a two-year program. And what we want to see first is we want to see them equipped, right? So each month we gather together in local churches from around our city. They host this. And as we gather, we listen to seasoned leaders, seasoned pastors. Even this next month, we're going to have two or three. They're going to speak into the lives of these leaders. And these topics range from leadership to hot topics in our culture. And then we get to sit around and we get to talk through these things. We get to learn together. Each of the residents are assigned a coach. who's a pastor, a ministry leader in our city, who can help them think through, okay, what does this look like in my context? How do I apply what I'm learning to my context so that I can be faithful, but also fruitful? Carmel, you guys hosted our November gathering where Pastor Alex was able to share just his heart for pastoring, his journey to getting to Carmel, and just his longing and hope to see churches revitalized, replanted, and planted in this city. It was a joy to hear that. Rob Kelly, he got to speak to us and talk with us about the state of our city. How can we be good students of our city? How can we continue to learn about our city and engage well? We're grateful for Carmel, grateful for the partnership, grateful for y'all hosting. Second, and this is the sweet spot of the residency to me. This is the connecting piece. You see, when I moved here, yes, I knew some pastors, I knew some leaders, but I was not connected well. I wasn't able yet to say, like Paul does in Philippians 1, that I thank my God for you and all my remembrance of you because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, right? He was thanking the Philippian church for that. I could look back at Crosspoint and say, man, I'm grateful for your partnership. But now, after being 3 years in this city, I can actually look around and say, man, we've got some great partners. I'm connected. And so we want to see these these new pastors, church planters, leaders, we want to see them connected. They're being connected with ministry leaders throughout our city. The residency is over 2 years. So over that 2 years, they're going to be able to connect with probably 30 to 40 ministry leaders and pastors throughout our city, which is going to be, this is going to be incredible for the kingdom of God here. It's going to be incredible for the culture of unity in our city. This is what we want to see happen. We want to see greater kingdom-mindedness across our city instead of one church going, let me build my own little kingdom, right? One church can do good kingdom work. A multitude of churches can do far greater. That's what we want to see. So yes, we want to see them equipped. We want to see them connected. And then we want to see them mobilized. We want to work together, walk alongside of one another to see them put into places throughout our city that need healthy churches, that need healthy gatherings of people that are on mission together, that are desiring to make disciples. That's what we want to see. We have churches right now in our city going, help us, please. We're going to shut down if we can't get a pastor, if we can't get a team in here. Hey, we have these looking. There's three churches right now that are without pastors. There's several that probably in the next few months we'll have to shut down if we can't raise up leaders and raise up teams to go into these places. This is what the city residency is working towards, equipping, connecting, and mobilizing these future leaders in these places. These relationships that are being built are going to continue to strengthen gospel partnerships across our city. I know this is going to happen by even seeing what has happened over just the last 6 months. You see, As we think about reaching our city with the gospel, unity among churches is vital in this effort. We have to be unified. We have to be together in this. Right now, with our residents and with our directional team, there's around 20 churches that are represented that are saying, yes, let's do this together. Let's plant churches. Let's revitalize together. This is incredible because all of these churches don't look the same. King's Church doesn't look like Carmel, right? We have diversity among our team. We have diversity in our churches. Some churches are multi-site venues. Some churches are single assembly. Like, we're working together to see the gospel go forth and to see churches planted. This is our hope. This is our prayer that God would continue to do this. I truly believe that as we work together, we're fulfilling what Jesus prayed in John 17, that his people, that his disciples would be unified. He wants them to have unity. He wants them to be as one, as the Father and him are one. That's our hope. That's the fruit that we want to see out of the city residency project. We have some great residents so far. There's right now, just in the pipeline, There's a guy that we just launched out from Kings planting in Concord. Today is their first service. Like, man, this is incredible, right? Incredible. There's four or five residents that are coming out of Rock Hill that are already lined up to revitalize two or three churches York County, right? South Carolina, right there. There's another guy looking at planting in Fort Mill. Within all of this is happening within the next 6 to 9 months. God's doing incredible things among our churches. We want to be a part of it, right? We want to be a part of it. So this is our hope. Last month, as I close out, last month, as we gathered with these residents, I was just casting some vision for them. You know, each of these residents have kind of committed to 2 years, walking with us over the next 2 years, building relationships, and us being able to send them out together as a churches. I said, guys, I wanna help you think through this. Don't think 1 year from now. Don't think 2 years from now. You know, look around at these guys, look at the relationships you're starting to build, but think about what could be in 5 to 10 years. Think about what could happen in our city, in Charlotte, in Greater Charlotte, if over the next 10 years, we have hundreds of residents come through this residency that are connected to one another, right? So now we have pastors all over our city connected, but they're also connected with ministry leaders, seasoned ministry leaders throughout our city. Think about the culture that could bring about. A culture of unity where we're going, hey, look, I know of a church that's right around the corner from your house instead of you driving 30 minutes to church. You'll be loved well. You'll be discipled well. You'll be able to be on mission in your neighborhood, inviting people that would never drive 30 minutes, but they're right there. Like, think about the culture where we're not trying to build our own kingdom, but we're trying to see the kingdom of God expanded. Think about what could happen as we develop these leaders, not just in Charlotte, because yes, our Lord, he is concerned about Charlotte. He wants to see churches planted here. He wants to see lost people saved here. Yet he's a God of the nations. He's the God who desires every tribe, tongue, people, and nation to bow to the name of his son. We want to see churches. We want to see pastors, church planters, leaders mobilized, yes, in Charlotte. But we want to see them mobilized and sent throughout this country and to the ends of the earth. That's our hope. God, would you do something among us? Lord, help us see that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And may we be a people who pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers. Thank you so much for supporting this work and for continuing to do this.
Thanks, bro. Man, thank you, Chad. Thank you. I was thinking earlier, first time you and I had coffee, just the two of us, after some larger gatherings, I looked out the window as soon as we sat down of a coffee shop and looked at a church across the street that was an historic Baptist church in our city that's now a prospering business. And I looked at him and I said, this is ironic. I said, but this is why we're friends. This is why we're meeting for this day right now, is so that doesn't happen again on our watch, so that we would not be lucky, that we wouldn't be fortunate, that we might have a strategy and a plan in place that we could plant and replant as quickly as the Lord would provide. You know, I said I was flying to Liverpool earlier to see my daughter and granddaughter, and son-in-law is on a mission trip in India, but there's nothing like when your baby has a baby. It's just hard to put in words. All the grandparents say amen. It's just freaky awesome. It's so good. And on a church context, there's nothing like when a baby has a baby. I got a text this morning from one of my guys that I text with on Sunday mornings. We text most Sundays, and this one actually lives in Katy. His name's Paul Cockrell. I was Paul's youth pastor in the mid-90s, and He pastors a church in Katy that we launched the month I left to move here. Literally, the last month I was there, we sent them out. We sent 175 folks and Paul and funding and said, go get them. And what Paul texted me this morning was one of the best texts I've gotten from him in 10 years, because he said he and his co-pastor Randy are mentoring and discipling church planters in their city, in their area, and he said, we are starting to get ready to be able to plant our first church. And I thought, when your baby has a baby, it's a good day. It's a really good day. So what do you do with all this? What's your takeaway? How do you partner in this? Number one, I would say pray for, that list is on our website. Pray for those churches that have started. When you're driving in the city and you see a church, just lift that church up in prayer. If it looks like one of those churches that might be struggling, pray for them that they would prosper and that those doors would remain open with the gospel being proclaimed. You can give. There'll be a tab on our website tomorrow morning, as we've had for the scripture translation. There's going to be one added for church planting. And, you know, I said last week or recently that we hit the first $1 million, our goal for the 10 years, we hit it in two, thanks to your generosity, for Bibles to be translated in heart language around the world. So what we thought we would say is, we would call that the first million, and we would continue out this decade and say that the next million will be for scripture translation and church planting. So if you have a heart for this, like you love this city, maybe you're one of those unicorns that you actually are a charlatan, like you grew up here, you know? Most of us moved here from somewhere, but a lot of you have been here forever. But maybe you're like me and you're not a native, but you really love this city too, and you want to see the gospel preached in healthy churches and that have been planted and replanted, you can give. Just go that way. There are a lot of ways to help. The last would be to pray with open hands, because there's going to be a time in the future where we're going to be the parent model of the three, and we're going to send out some of you. And you got to pray like this, and you got to, this has been one of the biggest struggles in Texas and here, is to get people who love their church to leave the church they love. And that doesn't happen until you get the mindset that we're a sent people and that you don't leave here. You're sent from here. And we're on the same team. You're just down the road. That's the difference. And when we have that heart and those hands, the kingdom grows and is expanded. So I think the best thing we could do right now is pray. So let's do that. Father, we bow our hearts before you now, and we rejoice as we think what you've done in our city. We're so grateful. And before we ask you for anything, we want to just stop and say thank you for what you're doing and have done. And allowing us to join you in your heart, that your name and renown would be known in the nations, drilled down into Charlotte. We're so grateful. Would you give thanks to him now for what he's done? Don't ask him for anything, please. Just thank him for what he's done. Go for it. We also ask, Father, that you would give us the breath of your spirit. We know you can do more in that breath than we'll ever do in a lifetime of trying or striving in our strength. So as you have delightfully surprised us with provision, would you continue to do so for the sake of your name, for the sake of your kingdom? Would you give us wisdom with who and how to partner? Would you give us provision to do so? And we even say, send me. Send me. Literally, would you open your hands, your palms in front of you on your lap and pray that prayer with me now? Go for it. Father, with gratitude, we look back, and with joy, we look forward. You're a good Father. You're faithful. We pray in faith because of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.